is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We're in hour number two, Nation Radio focused Oilers past, present, and future, plus the NHL's bigger stories every week. Hockey night in Canada tonight, but no Oilers game. Man, it's going to be day four before the Oilers hit the ice against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's tomorrow. You know what? I think it's going to be a great hockey game, and I just have a feeling. Remember last year was the, I think game one was the highlight of the year. If the Oilers could beat Pittsburgh, that'd be a huge start to the year. I'm not saying they're going to, but I think it's going to be a competitive game, and that's all I'm saying. And I say that in front of Tom Brady announcing who the goaltender is for tomorrow, because he still won't tell anybody. They had a skate today. Belanger wasn't on the ice. Looks like he'll be fine. Just one of those things. Sam Gagner skated as well. Ladislav Smead says he's ready. Whitney will not go tomorrow. Those are the latest updates, and we'll give you more. Ryan Martindale signed this morning with the Oilers. He'll play tomorrow for the Oklahoma City Barons as he makes his pro debut. And as promised, just ahead of Sean Brown and our conversation about various things, including Taylor Fadun and others, I wanted to give you my predictions for the Oilers 11-12, and we're going to mark these down and check it. I'm not going to eat anything. Terry Jones has started this crazy trend. Now Dusty's licking his boots or something. Not doing any of that. I'm too used to being wrong to do any of those sorts of things. So here they go. The Oilers will trade Alex Hemsky on November 15th, 2011, the anniversary of the Bill Guerin trade to Boston that saw Edmonton acquire the pick that turned into Hemsky at the 2001 entry draft. I'm telling you, November 15th. This year, mark it down. Devan Dubnyk will start more than 40 games this season for the Oilers and play well enough to earn the starting job moving forward. This time next year, it'll be his job. Mark it down. Taylor Hall will score 32 goals and lead the team in points. Jordan Eberle will score more than 20 goals, be north of 50 points, as will Sam Gagner. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins will stay the entire year, post more than 30 points, and impress with a wide range of skills. Some will be disappointed in his play. Some will feel he's not the offensive player they thought he'd be. But those who look at the complete player, the things that he can do aside from offense, are going to love Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Leonard Petrell will earn praise for his penalty killing. People will say, hey, he looks like Fernando Pisani. That's Leonard Petrell. Tom Gilbert will play well and still be criticized. Ryan Whitney will play 50 games. And the Oilers will finish 13th in the West, 25th overall. Now, they can play the season, but I've already told you what's going to happen. All right. If I look good in April or so, we'll bring those back. If not, put them on your mind. That's basically what I'm telling you. It's 4 minutes after 1 o'clock. This is Nation Radio. Joined now by Sean Brown, ex-Edmonton Oiler, ex-NHL player. And Sean, what are you up to these days?
Well, yeah, obviously now that I'm done hockey, just kind of looking forward to the next step in life here. Fortunately, I was pretty smart with my money, and I got bought out of my last year of my contract in Austria, so it kind of gave me a little bit of time to see what's out there. And just been talking to a number of different people, through the alumni and different people I've met over the years, trying to see what options are out there. And so pretty much that, and enjoying the fact that we're home and the kids are doing well. They started school and in their programs and whatnot. So, you know, I know my wife's very excited to be back, and we're happy to be back in kind of one spot. So with that being said, you know, also excited about looking into the next step too.
A lot of NHLers and former NHLers live in the Edmonton area, and I guess it's a comfort zone too, because a lot of people are from here, obviously.
Yeah, you know what? That was kind of one of the reasons when I played out here, I moved out here just because, you know, there were so many guys out here, and the opportunities to for training and skating with so many guys was just a perfect fit. And hockey's a small world, and Edmonton's a small community, so you kind of get to know everyone. And the more time you spend here, the city grows on you. The people are great. It's a great place to raise your family. And now that hockey's over, it seems like there's a lot of guys in my age that it's kind of coming to an end, and they're deciding to stick around. So, you know, it's good that way. You get to meet, and stay in contact with a lot of good people, and you know, Edmonton is obviously a very fun city to be a part of.
You mentioned the alumni. Oiler fans are obviously aware of the alumni, and you know, they have a lot of involvement in the community. But from your end, is it a helpful group of people, a support group for you?
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I joined it a little bit last year, but wasn't able to get too involved just because, you know, we were gone and still playing. But, you know, they have breakfast once a month, and you know, it's very light. You know, everyone kind of gets together, and it's kind of like a dressing room atmosphere. You kind of, you know, talk about old stories and old times and what's going on today, and try and think of new ways to try and get the alumni a little bit more involved and whatnot. So it's a great group of people, and you know, I think as guys like myself and other guys, you know, start to come towards the end of their career, it'll make it even stronger when more guys get involved. You know, it hopefully you know, we can work well with the Oilers and you know, continue to raise some money and help both parties out.
Now, I wanted to talk to you. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you this this weekend was the Taylor Fadun no-touch icing incident. That play has been a career ender for defensemen for a long time. What's your view on that play specifically and possibly changing the rule?
Yeah, you know what? When you watch that, it's obviously, God, it just makes you cringe. It's like, oh, Jesus. You know, you don't like, no player, you know, it's a tough game, and no one wants to hurt anyone out there. And unfortunately, there's times that accidents do happen. And, you know, as a defenseman going back there, it can be scary because, you know, obviously there's a lot of situations that are out of your control. And, you know, that particular incident there when, you know, someone gets their stick caught up in your skates, or you lose an edge, and you go into the boards like that, it's just unfortunate. And like you said, I mean, it's happened enough now that it's almost like, you know, they got to start looking at this a little bit more serious, and you know, maybe a change is something good. I mean, that's for, you know, no one, like I said, you don't want to see anyone hurt, and it's those are very serious injuries with him, and I think it was Foster a couple of years ago with Minnesota. So, you know, I'm sure the league will look at it again. It seems now, you know, the league is almost turning a corner now as far as how they're looking at headshots, and with Brendan Shanahan, and, you know, a lot of the rules are I'm sure, going to be talked about. So hopefully, you know, when it's that obvious, it's, you know, I seem to think, you know what, it almost seems like a no-brainer to change it.
Well, and the other side of it is it just doesn't impact the game scoring as much as people imply it does. There's very few times you end up with scoring opportunities, and even fewer that the puck goes in the net. So I think eventually that's a rule that might be changed. Was it ever in the back of your mind when you play, or does it just happen at such breakneck speed that you're just going back, getting the puck, and already thinking about where you're moving it after you get to it?
You got so much going through your head. I mean, everything happens so quick too, and you know, you're trying to protect yourself, you're trying to get body position, you're trying to protect the puck, and so on and so on. I mean, it's a, you know, the game, you gotta, it's tough. There's a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure, and you know, you got to make plays and to get out for your next shift, and it's all about winning and, you know, losing. So there's a lot that goes into it, but you don't, you know, the whole game is, you know, you're reacting pretty much the whole game because things are happening so quick that you don't a lot of times have that luxury to think. And when you do, that's when mistakes normally do happen, and, you know, or guys do get hurt. So, you know, you get comfortable, I guess, dealing with, you know, it's something, I guess, when you're playing all through your minor hockey, and the higher levels you play, the more intense and faster things get, and you learn to deal with it and react a lot faster. But, you know, it's, you don't want to think too much in this game, because when you start doing that, then, you know, you get hurt and a lot of mistakes start to happen.
During your career, and you had a long NHL career over a long period of time, over many years, did you suffer a lot of injuries, and what was it due to? Was it something like no-touch icing, or was it fighting, or along the boards, or just blocking shots? What was the most troublesome thing for you as a player?
You know what, it's funny, you know, my son's starting hockey now, and this is his first year playing, and my wife's obviously very nervous, and I'm nervous too. I mean, he's my son, you don't want him to get hurt, but the reality is that, you know, if kids play and they play long enough and at some competitive levels, it's going to happen, and you just kind of have to accept that. And, but as far as myself, I was really lucky. You know, I lost the end of my my pinky finger, just kind of a freak accident. I was trying to get the red line to dump it in, and a guy was chasing me from behind, and his stick and my hand or finger kind of met at the same time, and there wasn't protection, and it popped off the end of my finger. So that was a little painful, but, you know, it's funny now, like, when you're in the moment and you're playing and you understand that it's a game that you could get hurt, it's not a big deal. When I think about it now, I'm like, Jesus, you know, you're getting stitches every so often and different things like that. It just doesn't bother you when you're playing. But now that I'm done and I sit there and think about getting stitches in the trainer's room and different things like and just being hurt in general, it's like, Jesus, I don't care if I ever get stitches again or I don't ever feel like getting hurt again.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, I was fairly lucky when, you know, you try and that's why you work so hard in the off season and maintain it during the regular season is you're, you know, trying to prevent injuries. And they have so many ways of doing that now. Guys are so well trained and educated in that part that, you know, it's less and less. I mean, you're paid to play hockey and, you know, you don't want to be losing time with injuries. So I kind of ran into the problem when I went over to Europe, of all things. You know, I just had a few bumps and bruises when I was in the NHL. But when I went over to Europe, for some reason, my body just, I don't know if it was the schedule or maybe the lack of training or just, it was just, I got a couple sports hernias. I tore the labrum in my shoulder. And that's where I really seemed to run in more problems in a league with less games, less contact for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, obviously I was getting a little bit older. Maybe that had something to do with it too.
Now, you played in Germany for a couple of years, right?
I was 2 years in Germany and 3 years in Austria.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
So what was your experience overall? Because now you had you were drafted by the Bruins, traded to Edmonton, had a good NHL career, then obviously went over for 5 years to Europe. What was your experience after the NHL? Did you enjoy that part of the game aside from the injury?
Oh, I loved it. You know, I recommend it to anyone that I run into, you know, at the end of your career, you know, you pretty much know as a player, when it's time to maybe move on and whatnot. And like I said, I didn't have the most success as an NHL player, but I had some success and there was a lot that I would have liked to have accomplished that I didn't, but I was fairly happy. And you know, when I got, it was kind of getting to the point where I wasn't sure if I was going to get a one-way deal in the NHL, and then all of a sudden Europe became an option, which I never really thought was going to be an option for my style of play. And the money was good. It was the money was good. The lifestyle, the opportunities were good. And because they start so early, you have to make a decision so quick because there's so many guys looking to get over there, and the fact that they start their season earlier, so. It just, after Vancouver, the opportunity kind of came up and I thought about it and was like, you know what, let's go and have some fun. And, you know, I get to play. And I mean, because when you play this game, you want to try and play in as many situations as you can and have an impact on the game and have fun. And towards the end, I just wasn't having as much fun and I just needed 1 year. I was like, if I can just have 1 year to have fun and get that fire back. And so we went over to Germany and it was great. It was an adjustment period, but the nice thing was, you know, when you go over there, you got to make sure that you're in the right frame of mind. You don't want to be over there thinking woulda, coulda, shoulda, looking at stats. This guy's playing, that guy's playing, and I could be there. You know, so you got to be. You don't want to go over there with that type of attitude. And number one, because it will definitely make your make your experience more enjoyable if you're in the right frame. So, and having guys that are involved in the organizations over there that are from North America, because they kind of understand, because the living, everything's different, and you rely on them a lot. So Lance Netherly, who was, I think he played actually with the Oilers or was in the organization at one point.
Yeah, he was.
He was the GM there, and Don Jackson was the head coach, and you know, he was kind of a stay-at-home physical defenseman and really helped me when I got over there as far as adjusting, because it's not as physical as a game, and it's still physical, but you got to pick your spots, and it's different. The officiating and how they handle it's completely different. So I couldn't have went into a better situation and a better place as far as Dusseldorf. It was a very international city, and you know, the adjustment for my wife, it's always easier for the player because you just instantly walk into a room of 20 friends, and it's usually a little harder for your wife to to get out and meet people and to be able to get around. So that was a perfect scenario for my whole family. And it was great. I did have a little bit. I still had a hard time adjusting to the game. But like I said, those guys were very patient with me. And then I wind up moving on to Nuremberg the next year. And it was great. It was a great experience there too. And then I had a friend that went over to Austria, and I became really good friends with him. My first year in Dusseldorf, and he wanted me to come over to Austria. And I was never really stuck on playing in one country or one team. I wanted to try and go over there and experience Europe as much as I could, was in many different areas. So, my son was young enough at the time to be able to do that. I found out, later on when you start having more kids and they get a little bit older, it's easier to stay in one spot. It's easier for the whole family. So when we went over to Austria and the people in the country were great, we wind up staying there for 3 years.
Yeah.
And had a lot of fun. And, we met so many good people in my family and kids. Just, I don't know, the memories and the opportunities and the experiences were just unbelievable. So my kids are young, and we're hoping, later on when they get a little bit older, we'll have the opportunity to go back and see some friends, and some of those people I'm sure are going to want to come to Canada and see what it's all about here. And it's hockey's been good, and that's it's for every kid or every family or anyone I'm able to talk to. And whether you make it to the NHL or there's so many different levels, and the experiences and friendships and stuff that you're going to get out of this game is just incredible, and they're lifelong too.
That's excellent. I appreciate you sharing that with me. One of the things that you were very successful at in the NHL was being a hometown favorite or crowd favorite. I know that was the experience in Edmonton. People, when you say Sean Brown in Edmonton, in terms of the Oilers, it's still a very popular name because you jumped in there. There was no fear. Did you get that feeling from the fans when you played in Edmonton?
Yeah, you know what? Like I said, my whole experience here, my experience in hockey in general, was everywhere I went was great. And Edmonton's obviously very special because, to play in a Canadian city, and especially Edmonton, it's hockey. It's what everyone loves, what everyone dreams about. And, the people here were great and still are great. And, now at the end of my career and you're looking for other opportunities, you can see how I was here a short time really and didn't really have that much success. And the fact that, some people still kind of remember and, I guess appreciate the way you play, it's, of course, it's always, it's always a really nice feeling. But, Edmonton, yeah, I mean, there's a reason why it's our home. And we love it here, and people are just so passionate. I took my son to the exhibition game there, and we were watching Phoenix, and the fans there, and just listening to them talk. You don't get to see that side as a player, right? You're so wrapped up and in the moment and focused and preparing, and always worried about losing your job. You just you don't really get a chance to take in or get the feel of what it's like to be a fan. And so we went in warm up and listening to people, and it's an exhibition game and they're scoring and people are pumped and exciting. I'm a bigger fan now, and I'm almost a bigger fan now that I'm out of the game than I was when I was in the game.
Interesting.
Just because, in the game, obviously, I'm a fan and I love it, but you're just so okay, what do I got to do to get to the next day, and how can I stay in this league? And you're just, that's how I handled it. I was just, it was just hockey, and how can I, I got to have a good practice. I got to have a good game. I got to have a good shift. Where now it's and I can enjoy this. And, having played with some of those guys that are still here and watching them now, it's, I don't know, I love it. And the fact that my son loves it, getting back to the passion of the fans in Edmonton, they love it and they're knowledgeable, and, you can hear it with your sports station and everyone else, the whole team, 1260, people calling in, they eat it, they love it, and it's an exciting place for guys to come and play.
Yeah, absolutely. One final question. What do you think of these young guns that the Oilers have right now?
So exciting. Josh Green was at camp there, and I work out at Millennium, and they had a practice there, and I kind of went down to go say hi to him, and and seeing the size of these kids.
Yeah.
I mean, they're huge, they're strong, they're fast, they got so much skill, and you know, this is going to be a really exciting place for it's going to be an exciting team. You know, it's an exciting team this year, and it'll be only more and more, and it's going to be fun. They're going to have a lot of success, and you know, I've had a chance to talk to Kevin and some of the guys in the organization, and they're excited, and you know, they obviously have the right people in place that you know, it's going to be good. They're just going to be a fast, explosive team, so I'm excited.
Sean, thanks so much for this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Sean Brown, former Edmonton Oiler, former NHL player, back in the city and, you know, enjoying himself and enjoying this hockey team, too. So I thank him very much for, you know, passing along his opinion about the Taylor Fadun hit and the possible rule change. And I thought he shared some great information about his experience in Europe. Sounded like he enjoyed that at least as much as he enjoyed his NHL career. And I really liked him talking about, you know, the process you go through when you're going back for the puck or any play at the NHL level. You're not worried about injury. You're just so busy about, you know, get the puck, you know, make sure I got position. It was interesting insight, and we thank him so much for coming by. Very busy show. We've got two more guests here. It's 1:22 now. We're going to take a break. Before 2 o'clock today, we're going to have Matt Bug from Dauber Hockey talk to us a little bit about the 2012 draft and how deep it is, and we'll maybe touch on that as well with Corey Graham, but we really want to talk about the Oil Kings, this Gurnett kid, and what his obviously going to be one of the longer road trips for our friend Corey, and we'll do that next. This is Nation Radio, presented by Edmonton Motors.